This does not leave you out, because tangible or tactile doesn't necessarily mean physical touch, because we can be touched in the heart. We can be touched through experience. Certainly, we can go through an experience emotionally and not necessarily have to be physically touched. Although I believe that the more tactile senses we use, the greater the avenue that God has to touch us. And I think that that's what strikes me a little bit about falling in love. he finds these men that he can personally have this relationship. And what did he do? Abraham and Sarah. And it's this reaching out, it's this walking and talking, if you will. And he doesn't have to, but he constantly makes himself available for that. He puts himself in forms where they can be recognized, where in need, Abram doesn't run and shrink from the presence of God as he shows up. God somehow presents himself as a preacher or someone that needs not be feared, that Abram can actually walk with that day. And you notice that when they finally get down to talking themselves, they go for a walk. Abram's walking with them. And God actually says out loud, "Things out loud shall I hide from Abram what I'm about to do." And what's the answer? No. Abram's my friend. I'll tell him everything I'm about to do. And of course, Abram has the opportunity to live that relationship out again. Touch God as though it was being touched by his presence at that moment. Jacob comes along in which the covenant gives his name, Israel. And he chooses a physical relationship in order to come up with that name. Israel, which literally means wrestling with God. And not just wrestling with God, but wrestling with God and being victorious. Did Jacob win the wrestling match that day? No. In fact, he was permanently disabled by it. But God said, "You have a victory." Why? Because he engaged in it. I will not let you go. So literally, the name of the covenant is touched. The name of the covenant itself is literally grabbing God by the lapel and saying, "I won't let you go until you bless me." God says, "This is victory. This is presence." Then by the Exodus, he hears, he sees, he feels the affliction of his people. And he says, "And I have come down." He's moved by what's happening. He's moved by the suffering of his children. By sometimes deliberately from the power of the Egyptians to bring them up to that land, a good and spacious land, to a land flowing with milk and honey. Comes down. Why? Another opportunity to touch them. In this case, just one man sitting there. One man who was willing to come up the mountain. One man who was curious enough to figure out what was going on with this bush. And it doesn't run when he hears the voice. He began to lay on his soft snake, which I would too. But he came back and he heard the voice. And he tells Moses, "You heard my people? I want them to be touched the way that you're touched right now, you and me, face to face." And we know he brings them to the mountain, he brings them all the time. Remember? And he blows the trumpet. When they heard the trumpet, what were they supposed to do? They were supposed to come up the mountain. just to act right, but to feel for each other. Not just legal obligations, but inner attitudes, a deep connection of love, not just a dedication of ceremony. To be touched, to be tactile, to be real. Which brings us to his ultimate expression of a tactile God. He was despised, forsaken of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. And like one from whom men hide their faith, he was despised, and we did not esteem him, a man of sorrows, one who's willing to walk in our flesh and actually suffer, not just to suffer the same things we suffer, but to suffer for us in ways in which we cannot. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh. The Word became something to be touched. The Word became tactile. And the Word began to walk and talk among us. Philip Yancey wrote an article in Christianity Today. He called it distressing. He put it this way. He said, why did Jesus have to suffer and die? The question is there's an entire book, and it's prompted in many books. But among the answers, the Bible gives is the most mysterious answer. Suffering served as a kind of learning experience for God. I realize that such words seem faintly heretical, but I'm really following Hebrews when he says, although he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered. Elsewhere in the book, it tells us that the author of our salvation was made perfect through suffering. And let me ask you this. He was God. Did he need to learn to be obedient? No. He didn't, did he? Did he need to be made perfect? No. But he did it in order for us to know that he was willing to experience life with us. I look at it this way. He didn't need to be made perfect through his suffering, but his suffering makes him perfect to us. Why? Because now he is not some boy sitting on a throne. Now he's someone who I know cares for me and wants me to touch him. That's the perfection he's talking about. He was already perfect. His suffering did not make him perfect. His suffering made him perfect for us as our tangible, tactile God. And he goes on and says that these words are full of fathomless mystery. Surely we need at least this. The incarnation had meaning for God as well as for us. On one level, of course, God understood physical pain, having designed the marvelous nervous system that carries it to our brains as a warning against harm. But has the Spirit ever felt physical pain? Not until the incarnation. In 33 years on earth, he learned about poverty. Let's put it this way. He experienced poverty. He didn't have to, did he? Did he have to learn about poverty? No, he didn't. He knew all about poverty. He knows all about poverty and pain and sickness and illness and death. But he didn't want to just know about it. He didn't want us to look at him as some sort of reference on it. As someone who knows it by book, who knows it by spirit, who knows it by mind. That wasn't enough for him. He wanted us to know that he had felt it. That it's tactile. That it's tangible. And that he was willing to do it for us. Because then he learned everything in those 32 years. Family squabble, social rejection, verbal abuse. Betrayal. He learned to love him. What it feels like to have an accuser who's ready to put his fingers in his face. What it feels like drugs.